Sandy Parks, live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m. on 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth, and I'm joined now by Washington Times reporter Luke Roziak. Good afternoon, Luke.
Hey, Andy.
A couple of things I know you're working on. One story caught my eye right away this morning, and that was Gingrich's campaign payments spark questions. He wants a reimbursement for expenses from his campaign. Is that unusual?
Yeah, no one else does that. They just have the campaign put it on their credit card, and the campaign pays bills directly.
Okay, so what makes this different? No credit card?
If you believe what the campaign says, and I find this interesting, no bank would give Newt Gingrich a credit card.
Is that true?
So it's either not true or banks don't hold this guy's organization in very high esteem, because I know I get unsolicited credit card offers all the time.
Like every day, really. All right, so he's got some explaining to do then in the minds of many. Unexplained cash to staff, to family members, to himself. Sounds pretty serious.
There's a whole lot there. His accounting is just in complete disarray. And here it is, a major presidential campaign. And he just doesn't seem to care. His treasurer, they don't seem to really be afraid of the Federal Election Commission or feel obligated to report what they're doing with their money the same way everyone else does.
How much money are we talking about?
It's almost $1 million in unexplained money. They just say it's for travel and it's going to Gingrich and to his staff. The problem isn't that they're reimbursing themselves. The problem is you still have to say where the money's going. If I'm on a campaign and I, for whatever reason, pay for a $200 Embassy Suites bill myself, it doesn't matter that I paid it. I essentially gave the campaign a little loan. I mean, the campaign still has to say we spent $200 at the Embassy Suites, because mm-hmm. that's where the campaign donations went.
Okay. Tell me about some of the people that have been getting this money in addition to himself.
Gingrich is the big one himself at $220,000, and then a couple of his top aides have gotten like between $50,000 and $80,000.
And so when you go to look at the information, it's simply not there?
It has a one-word description. It says Newt Gingrich was paid $220 for travel, just travel, no recipient, and no description, whereas every single other presidential campaign ever would say this money is spent, $184 on July 17th at the Subaru dealership,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah. The FEC, anything from them on this?
The FEC's rules are very clear. They have policy manuals, and they have advisory opinions, and they have FEC officials who are basically ordering the Gingrich campaign to itemize these receipts. There are literally chapters in a book that's given to all candidates
mm-hmm.
that deal with how to pay for travel costs, because that's a common situation. You're on the road, you do incur these costs. Occasionally people will pay them out of pocket and then be reimbursed. But the FEC has very clear policies for this, and they very clearly say that they must be disclosed. And at one point, the FEC noticed this, and they wrote a letter to Gingrich's campaign and said, you need to go back and amend all of your reports. And, basically tell us where this money went, or tell us why you don't have to do it.
And what did they do?
They wrote back over a month late and just said no. They said, we're not required to do that, and they didn't elaborate. Now, when I finally got them to talk about this, they said that basically they disagree with the FEC's rules, and they think that they basically said, come and get me, to the FEC.
No kidding.
Because and it's true, the FEC is pretty gridlocked. You've got three Democrats and three Republicans on there, and they have difficulty taking enforcement action sometimes. So basically they're saying, yeah, we know that the FEC is telling us we totally can't do this, but what are they going to do about it?
It's unbelievable. All right. Now, I also understand some money went to his wife's company for web hosting.
Yeah, and this has been written about before, but what no one has ever noted before is that he already has a web host. It's called Rackspace. They're a very popular web hosting company, and he's paying them the same amount of money that it would take to host his website. I mean, a website only has one host, so why is he paying Rackspace for hosting, and then also his other company for hosting.
Huh. What about his daughter? Doesn't she get some kind of money somewhere, too?
Yeah, she's gotten these unexplained reimbursements for travel, too. He's paying her through a fundraising consultancy company, which is basically just her. So she's also gotten, like, I think $60,000.
Huh. All right. Now, here's what's really puzzling to me. If I understand it correctly through your story, he, Gingrich, sold a mailing list to his campaign for $50,000?
For $50,000. And here's the thing. Candidates, when they enter the race, they have to list all of their significant possessions. The house they live in isn't included, but everything else is included. Their income, their jobs, any vacation homes they have, any cars, things like that. He didn't disclose owning any such list. So it's like, how can you sell? If you had a $50,000 list, that's one of your valuable possessions.
Sure.
Just months ahead of time, he didn't have the list. So how did he get this list and suddenly sell it to the campaign?
And how did he affix a $50,000 price tag to it?
Exactly. I mean, it seems unsavory to sell your own campaign a mailing list, but then there are issues on top of issues here. I mean, there's the lack of disclosure, the unsavory nature of it on its face.
Yeah.
Then there's the fact that he didn't even disclose making the payment in the same way that his expenditure reports have been lacking all detail in these other respects. He just never reported paying for this list. His advisor accidentally told the Washington Post about it, and then said, "Oh man, we didn't include that in the report. Whoops." So a watchdog group filed a complaint, and even after that, they did not amend the report. They amended the third quarter report that was at issue, not to correct this issue, but to say Gingrich wants even more money.
Oh.
So apparently they're not even keeping track of the receipts that he's being reimbursed for very well, because at one point Gingrich was owed, $70,000 in a quarter, and then he went back and he said, "Oh, never mind, I'm actually owed $115,000, and he must have found a shoebox of receipts or something. So
they increased it.
So they increased it when they should have been amending it to say, "Sorry, we forgot about this list payment." They actually went back and got more. And even in they didn't disclose this. They finally disclosed the list payment in December when they had told the Washington Post it happened in I think September. So it's like you can't just make this stuff up. I mean, a transaction occurred on a specific date or it didn't.
I'm talking with Luke Rosiak, Washington Times reporter. I want to change gears on you here because I know you have another story you're working on, and it deals with corporations, donations, but not with the checkbook.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world of campaign finance today because the reports are due for the last month. And something interesting has happened, specifically in Super PAC supporting Ron Paul. Corporations are giving free products and services rather than what people thought was going to happen was when the super PAC business came about and corporations can now give unlimited amounts of money. That hasn't happened so much. I think a company like, say, Pepsi, they'd be reluctant to give to either party, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, because you risk controversy and you risk alienating half of your customer base.
Mm-hmm.
But something more interesting has happened, I think. Especially small businesses, they've made what are called in-kind contributions. So a radio station in Florida, for example, gave Ron Paul $160,000 of free airtime.
Oh, wow.
And it makes a lot of sense if you think about it because there's no markup, really. I mean, I don't know how much the airtime costs to the TV station. I guess it's the cost of not selling those ads to other advertisers.
Right, right.
But they're able to really make a very significant contribution at less cost because they're the TV station.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's almost like barter, but they're really not getting anything from the campaign.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, I guess, with smaller vendors. I guess there could be a small advertising firm that wants to get some prominence and wants to venture out and do the first real national campaign. And you've seen that as well. An online advertising firm gave $300,000 in free services to a Ron Paul PAC, and that was their biggest contribution, with the exception of one wealthy benefactor who did give more than $1 million to them.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. All right, Luke, as always, thanks for dropping in. Appreciate your comments, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Andy.
Luke Rosiak of the Washington Times. It is 4:16, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.